Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We are November 11th and 12th. We know in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens and D calls for a new year celebration. What is happening now but this morning, opening of the pheasant and the bobwhite quail season. They go to page 55 in the digest for all the stocking numbers and dates. A lot of birds going out. It's going to be a little split-up schedule later on between the deer season. Here's our top 10, for this week. I'm just going to give you the Tuesday. Try to get out Tuesday and Thursday. Try to get out because the Saturdays are great. Thanksgiving Day. Ooh, well, if we do get out Thanksgiving Day, we make sure it's about 4 in the afternoon, 3:30 or 4. Here we go. Our choice, our top 10. Howardsville is going to get 50s. Their numbers are also good for Thursday. 50 and 50. Manahawkin, 50 and 50. Medford, 80 and 80. The Forge, Stafford Forge, 160, 160. Glassboro is going to get 100 and 100. Mad Horse is going to get 90 and 90. Millville, woo, big numbers of birds, 340, 340. Nantucket, 110, 110. Port Republic, 50, 50. And Tuckahoe, 110 and 110. And for Greenwood and Peasley, those are ring names. Greenwood and Peasley, Bob White's numbers are going to be 280, 280. And then on the 16th, I lied. I'm giving you Thursday, comes out to 260, 260. Plenty of birds. But it is indeed showtime, or I should say prepping up to showtime. The 6th annual Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo is set for January 6th and 7th. Check it out. Vendors, I tell you this, you snooze, you lose. Sold out! Join us on the line right now to pump it up a little bit, but he's going to be a guest in a few weeks. Live in the studio, Gerald Vessers, owner, promoter, CEO, head muckety-muck of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Mr. Vessels, congratulations on another sellout performance, man.
Tommy P, good morning, my man.
You did it. You said you were going to do it, and you sold out. He added space, and boom, people were glomming it up like I do anchovy pizza. Jerry, tell us about it. What do you got? A couple of minutes. Go.
Oh, man, Tommy P, we're 55 days away from the 6th Annual Fishing and Boating Expo, and we're pumped, man. January 6th and 7th, 2024, same great location in Wildwood, New Jersey, same free parking, same free seminars. This year, we added a second Yeti giveaway. So we're giving away not one, but two Yeti 65 Tundra coolers.
Woo!
Free with your paid entry. Tommy, we got 10 boat dealers on hand already. We're looking at over 100 boats. Finseeker, Viaggio, Battle Wagon boats, handcrafted fiberglass boats, Tidewater, Suzuki, Key West, Mercury, Aquasport, Bentley, Ranger tugs, Catalina sailboats, Wellcraft.
Whoa! You got the Bentley pontoons or tritoons?
Yes.
That's my dream. Own a Bentley, man.
Exactly.
And Jerry, we have a great cross section. You have tackle dealers, manufacturers. You got it all, and you have those the seminars. You have a kick-ass seminar schedule for 2 days.
Oh, we've got great seminars scheduled. Our headlining seminars are Miss Jenny Ackerman from the Fisherman Magazine. Jenny is a superstar in the state of New Jersey, and she's taking over my role on Saturday with Jig and Fluke, which is going to be fantastic.
Ooh, she's an animal, man. She's with the Fisherman Magazine. Listen, she is a beautiful, don't get me wrong, by animal, I mean animalized, as in she goes after a project that's for the kill.
She's savage.
Oh, yeah. She just had a great article in the Fisherman, too, on bucktailing.
Yeah, she's tremendous, and that's what I've social media, you can look her up. She's got pictures up and down the coast. She's crushing fish.
She does the video, too, for some of the videos for the fishermen.
Yes. Jenny is the whole package.
So, Jerry, let's go into the hour. Listen, the Wildwood Convention Center, Expo Hall, whatever you call it. Jerry, gorgeous, and most important thing, too, the free parking. Gorgeous facility. Easy to reach. You got the parking. You have the thing well laid out. It's going to be a bang, bang, win-win all around.
We're 100% go time, Tommy, and the facility, as you know, it's Wildwood Convention Center, big state facility, plenty of parking, easy to get to, overlooks the ocean, floor-to-ceiling windows. It's a great venue just for anything, but it really fits the fishing and boating world to a T. So we're so excited about that. We expanded our floor space by over 30% because people wanted more boats.
We got more boats.
Inside the arena is 75,000 square feet. We've got that filled to the gills. the hallway leading into it. If people have been there before, you'll know what I'm talking about with the hallway. The hallway is packed with vendors again. So we're literally probably approaching the 85,000-90,000 square feet of space.
Very impressive. Listen, so you got some. I'm hawking there because man, I created copper wire because I stretch a penny so far, and you get super deals there, Jerry. Between the clothes and the tackle bucket, I was leaving. I gained another 50 pounds just carrying stuff.
Oh, it's fantastic. We have it. Everything from Mud Hen Brew Pub, which is one of our vendors, one of our sponsors, they're on scene with discount tickets, some swag, Sea-Tow, Towboat, Sea Gear, House of Rods, Fisherman Magazine, Jetty Apparel is a new vendor this year, Next Level Marine, Chart House Marine, South Jersey Tournaments is another new vendor this year.
Vessels, check it out. I was just driving. I was flying down or flying up Route 9. There used to be a gym. And then it was a Hackensack Meridian Big Health Center. Jetty's opening up a big place on Route 9 there, right by that the race car driver's place in Mayetta or West Creek or whatever. Big facility. So they're really on expansion mode. But Jerry, you banged them all across the board. Listen, mark your calendars January 6th and 7th. Jerry, real fast before we let you go up against a hard break, give those hours.
The hours are January 6th and 7th. January 6th is 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. January 7th is 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's $10 for adults, $3 for kids 6 to 13, and 5 and under are free.
Listen, Jerry Vessels will be in the Rack and Fin Radio ESPN studios in a few weeks, and I'll be wearing my pink staff shirt. How's that, Jerry? I couldn't wear it last year because I looked like a giant stuffed jumbo shrimp. Now it sort of fits normal.
Oh, well, that's good, Tommy. We're on the right track. We're all going in the right direction.
You take care, Jerry. Catch you soon. By the way, how's that great family?
FishingExpoWildwood.com.
We'll go, give that address, please. Go what?
Our website is FishingExpoWildwood.com.
Okay, real fast. How's that family? Everything good?
Family is fantastic. I got another driver in the house, Tom, so I'm...
Mod on.
Oh, I know.
Mod on.
Getting crazy.
See you, Jerry. Take care.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
It's going to be a great show. I just love the small. I used to say I love the smaller shows, intimate contact, the whole bit, like the bands that go to the small venues. Or man, he's got it. This is going to be a big event coming up. We're going to be talking deer and farmers with Wade Stein, president of Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Happy New Year and Happy Veterans Day, veterans. We thank you. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
So what came first? I'd say this really started happening, I guess, back in the 80s when the deer population really burgeoned. The chicken or the egg, what came first? Trying to get permission from farmers. Farmers say no, except for some clubs, and farmers bitch and moan, rightfully so, about deer damage, fish and wildlife. Back then, fish game, as I used to call it, fish game and health fisheries, wasn't doing enough, whatever. Always the disconnect. Farmers need help harvesting deer, don't allow access. Then they get the farmers that, again, I've observed this over the years, and cue me if I'm wrong, I'm wrong before, there's nothing new there. My interpretation. Then you get the big money clubs up there. We lost a club up there in Huntington County years ago. Great little club. We cut wood for the lady, cleaned the everything. Then I don't want to mention the name of the group, comes in waving huge, big money. Can you match it? No, we can't match that. We're only 12 people. You're gone. Then they came in. There's a lot of does there, especially only after the big bucks. Hey, that's what happens. These are the bone hunters, the big rackers. So, again, the deer damage is still there because the does aren't contained. So, what happens? There's angst between hunters and farmers. No two ways about it. Well, taking the buck by the antlers and the doe by the dainty little tails is the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. We're working on a pilot program. Very interesting. Addressing the situation. Balls to the wall, head on, face to face. Join us online right now. Very special guest. Getting him, especially this time of year, is tough because he is omnipresent in the fields and on the water, is Wade Stein. He is president of the Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. Going to talk deer reduction response team and farmer deer management partnership. The genesis of this, is it working on a trial basis and does it have legs, pun intended? and where could it go? Sorry, Wade. I get very verbose when it comes to this topic. You know that. How you doing, little brother?
All right, brother. Good. How you been?
Wade, you put a lot of work into this. The Federation and all parties involved, you know, deer biologists, Fish and Wildlife, law enforcement. Give us a, not quite in a nutshell, you know, I want to have you on for two segments. By the way, I have him, his people have him chained to the chair. He can't get out. But let the genesis of this program, you were addressing it head on. What finally brought this to a head?
Well, we were getting word from, you know, our farmer friends that, you know, deer overpopulation was just killing them. You know, they're deer crop damage. Deer damage, crop damage was described by the Farm Bureau as an epidemic. Mm-hmm. And voted the number one issue among farmers in 2018 and then again in 2021. So I started talking to a few farmer friends that are on the Federation, and one of my good friends that I know here in Burlington County. And we're like, yeah, we can do something about this. We can try to do something about this. And, you know, I was warned that it was tried years ago. The state tried to do it, but mm-hmm. they tried to do it back then. They tried to do the entire state all at one time.
Wait, so, let me interrupt you a second, because I remember that, and I remember reading up on it, and it sort of just got swept under the rug, swept under the carpet of leaves, whatever, and away it went. Okay, continue. So listen, this has been tried. Intentions were good, but the path to hell is paved with good intentions. Go ahead, Wade.
That's exactly right, brother. And so what we decided to do this time around is we're going to try it in small baby steps. You know, we go out to County Board of Ags and talk to a few of them. We were up in Hunterdon County and Somerset County. Talked to those Board of Ag department meetings. And out of those meetings, we were able to get a farmer to try us out, join us up. And to this day, they enjoy it. And they love it, and they signed up again. We just started the program last year in 2022, and they that farmer signed up again for this year. And then last year around this time, I was at the Farm Bureau annual meeting, gave a presentation, and then after that meeting, I had another farmer approach me about it. And that farmer is in he likes what we're doing, and he invited us back again this year.
Boy, that's fantastic. And people, you know, but there's the depredation permits. Again, that's the counter to that. And to me, those deer, I don't know if they change it. I'm sort of ignorant on this one, ashamedly so. I've been to some hunts in the Southlands, you know, doing a big drive through field edge of the whole bit. I came upon a scene. It looked like that from that movie, The Killing Fields.
Oh, yeah.
About Cambodia, Paul Pot, remember? I said, what's this? And I said, well, probably 100, 150 deer here. I said, what? And they're supposed to be, but whatever. I'm not going to mention where, what. But I looked at, mm-hmm. I said, and I looked at my lovely D Marie, and we said, whoa. But the guys were getting killed by the deer on the crop. I mean, literally getting eaten out of house and home.
Yeah.
So, the disconnect. Farmers just don't want, we've knocked on doors. I even said, look it, I have insurance, State Federation mm-hmm. of Sportsmen. Doesn't make it no.
Yeah.
What the liability? Well, I get. What did you see in getting this program started? Is that the main objection from the farmers? The insurance, or what is it? Strangers on their land? What?
Yeah, kind of like that. When I went to the Deer Forum meeting in the South just the other month, I had a guy tell me. He says, you know, you got to look at it this way. A farmer's got to trust you enough and like you enough. Because they're inviting you into their home.
Exactly right. Yep.
And I said, you know what? I understand that completely. So it's a matter of trust. So that's why we decided to, like I said, go with the small baby steps. Start out with a few farmers that trusted us enough, you know, knew a couple of guys within the Federation, said, all right, let's give it a try and see what goes on. So that's why we're hoping that, you know, by doing such a great job on the few farms that we have right now, then the word will spread amongst the farmers of people that they do trust already, mm-hmm. and then they'll trust us even more to allow us into their living room, so to speak. So.
Joining us on the Rackman Radio line this morning is Wade Stein, president of New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. Topic is, again, the farmer problems with deer. Again, the flip side, not allowing hunters access. But wait, where do the clubs come into this? Because they do waive monster money. I mean, I've seen some monster money, especially in areas like Huntington County, also down in Salem, whatever, and in the really, you know, big buck areas of the state. And again, does a farmer say, please take some does, or what's happening here? Because these guys they're big antler hunters.
Oh, yeah. Well, and see, that was where there was a report put out by Rutgers describing the livelihood of farmers and trying to address or identify, you know, hidden costs of deer crop damage. So in one of their opinions, you know, farmers were saying, you know, hunters don't take enough deer. You know, they're all out there for the big bucks. They don't take enough does, so on and so forth. So that's why part of our program, if a farmer signs up for the first year, this is our stipulation, is it's does only for that first year, as long as the farmer agrees. If the farmer allows the hunters to hunt the bucks as well, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about our program. The farmer is in charge of what happens.
Wait, and the baby step scheme of things, do you see this plan eventually unfolding success, or does it have to go through a fish and game council for adoption if it does work out, or is it just this can be going on for decades?
No, it does not really have to go through Fish and Wildlife, because it's our organization making friends and handshake deals with the farmers. And it's a matter of trust. You know, they have to trust us. We have to trust them. And we have to trust our own hunters to do what we're outlining in our program. Because, honestly, from a rumor that I heard 2 years ago, that if the Department of Agriculture got a control of deer management in the state of New Jersey, you know, they'd wipe out all the deer. Because their livelihood depends on the reduction of deer. So that's why we took this step. And after we read that report from Rutgers, we're like, we need to do something to help our friends, you know, because it's not good for us hunters to have all the deer gone, but for the farmers, we need to help them out. We, you know, there, because honestly, if you, there's a bumper sticker out there that says no farm, farmers, no food.
No food. You're right. Right. Yeah,
exactly. And I believe that I personally believe that myself 100%.
Okay, listeners, we're up against a hard break. We have Wade Stein on the Rackfin Radio Line, Deer Reduction Response Team and Farmer Deer Management Partnership, a pilot program going on put up by the State Federation of Sportsmen Clubs. Grab that cup, grab that rubber. We'll be right back with Wade for another segment.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station. Fox on film.
I'm Michelle Foligno. In the Marvels, Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, has reclaimed her identity from the tyrannical Kree and taken revenge on the Supreme Intelligence, but unintended consequences see Carol shouldering the burden of a destabilized universe together with Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Miss Marvel, and Carol's estranged niece. The three join forces to save the universe. Also in theaters, Antonio Banderas stars in Journey to Bethlehem. This live-action Christmas musical weaves classic Christmas melodies into new pop songs in a music-infused retelling of the timeless story of Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. In The Holdovers, Paul, a universally disliked professor at a prep school, stays on campus to supervise students who couldn't go home, together with a troublemaking 17-year-old and the school's head cook, Mary. The three form a bond as they spend Christmas together. That's Fox on Film on Fox News.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious. Hey, like I said in the opening segment, Happy New Year, parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens. Indeed, cause for a New Year celebration. Ringneck pheasant, bobwhite, quailies. They are legal today. Aggressive stocking program going on. I gave you some numbers. It's going to continue on till December 30th. Some intermittent breaks between the various deer seasons, but plenty of birds going out. Joining us online is Wade Stein, New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen Club, talking deer management, farmer, hunter access, deer predation permits, ways there, what's going on. How can we improve relations with the farm? Well, wait, one thing I want to address, and you have to address the okay, I'm the 800-pound elephant in the room with everyone. Wait, there's some wise asses here. Get my drift? But
yeah, I hear you.
Well, what about, you know, the warts here? What about, I'm sure farmers have had experience, because I've seen it once or twice in my travels around the great state of New Jersey, despite it being run by Democrats. I had to get that in. Where farmers suffer damage, like a fence left open, some litter. I remember one guy says it's like they had target practice in my lower field. He let some guys on a small game hunt. And this was up on the Warren-Hunterdon border. Okay. And I'm sorry, the Sussex-Mars border up there. So again, years ago, he goes down there. He says there's broken clay birds, shotgun shells, empty hulls a whole bit. He says, and there you go. So I'm sure that's happened. That has to be the farmers have to be raising that problem.
Absolutely. And that's what I said. It's a matter of trust and respect. I know when I grew up hunting from my grandfather taught me is that, like, if you're hunting a farm and you go to a farm and the gate's closed, when you go through it, you close it. If it's open, you leave it open. It's that kind of respect that you have to work out with. And our pilot program, we have a liaison to work between us and that particular farmer. So whatever that farmer dictates, as far as being allowed on this field or that field, that's how we operate. And then that liaison meets with the farmer, looks at the property, looks at the best place to set up the elevated blinds, because that's the other thing. We hunt from ladder stands.
Okay.
So it's all safe shots. And the other thing is safety on our side. We want to make sure that the farmer's livestock, if he has any, is just safe.
Sure.
We don't want to have our guys accidentally shooting a cow or something like that. So those are the kind of things that we do with this hunter liaison to work out the deals with the hunter, with the farmer. And then the farmer, he decides he will meet the hunters that come on the property, and he'll say yes or no. He'll agree to having 10 guys or 5 guys or just 1 guy. It's all up to the farmer. And if the farmer says, hey, if you guys don't come around this week, my family and I are going to go out and hunt. Hey, that's perfectly great.
Sure.
We'll step aside. And that's what I said. We have to treat the farmer with respect, because it is his property and he's allowing us to come into his home basically and take part, participate in something that we love to do.
So wait, the farmer, let me interrupt just a second. The farmer can say this is a bucks only or this is a does only dealio, correct?
Absolutely. And we have to, and that's the other thing too. Our hunters that are involved with this, they have to understand too that this is a deer management type program. This is not a trophy buck thing. I'm sure you're going to see him. I've got one on camera of mine and on a farm right now. He's a nice 6-pointer, but I'm not busting my hump to get out there just to get him. I got to get out there and get some meat first and please the farmer.
Wait,
that's what we're doing.
You're talking, except with the exception of Hudson. I know there's deer in Hudson County. No two ways about it. You're talking 20 counties out of 21. Where there is deer hunting. Do you see this being from Sussex to the beautiful Peninsula County of Cape May eventually?
Oh, I would love to say yes, but.
A lot of logistics involved here. A lot of logistics. Yeah. It's like a lattice work here between this one, that one, this one, that one. So, listen, it sounds like it's a roll over before you crawl before you walk, walk before you run type thing.
Yes, definitely. And that's why we're taking the small steps right away. It's 2 years now into the program, and, both the farmers that we got from last year are going to exceptionally well, happy with what we got going on. And then this year, I'm having a booth set up at the annual Farm Bureau's annual meeting, November 13th and 14th, up at the Westin in Forestal Village in Princeton.
Oh, that is, I know exactly where that is.
Oof. Yeah, yep.
Well, you talk about deer country. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll be sitting up there for 2 days in my informational booth to talk to any farmers, and hopefully we'll get some more to sign up. But, yeah, it's a lot of personalities between, Sussex County all the way down to Cape May that, you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But it's all up to the farmer and their own property,
they call the shots. We're just there to help them out.
Now, wait, are the participants, Farmer agrees, must they be members of the Federation?
Oh, yeah, that is one of the things that we do put in there, because through being a member of the Federation, you have that liability insurance.
Absolutely.
And then you're also got to go through the vetting process of Fish and Wildlife. You know, they got to do your background checks and all that kind of stuff. So to the farmer, our numbers are safety. You know, we go through that process for them. And then plus all the costs involved as far as the permits and the butchering, that's shared by the hunter. That's mm-hmm. not... There's not a dime to the farmer at all, you know. Then we also have a working relationship with Hunters Helping the Hungry.
Shout out to Bud Thomas. He's coming on in a couple of weeks. Sorry, I get too excited.
Yeah. That's all right, brother. But yeah, so we can work with Hunters Helping the Hungry and get trailers out there if we need them, mm-hmm. you know, during the warmer months. Because that was another expression from the farmers. You know, that all the deer, they got to be able to do something during depredation period, which is, you know, 90 degree heat. You know, you got to be able to do something with it. And, you know, having those trailers available from the Triple H, perfect. You know, we can line them up at any time as long as the farmer agrees to having it sit there on their property.
Yeah, I had Bud on earlier in late summer, early autumn, about a show about that. And that's a great thing. Again, one here, one there, but it can grow. But wait, it comes down to no green, no machine. I mean, donations accepted. What? How? Again, and two, can the farmer? Do you get, I don't know what it's like to be a farmer, but I farm. In fact, Papaw down here in Texas. Boy, that was North Texas. That was a farm. I learned one thing: don't go into the wild turkey, or actually, the domestic turkey pen. Those little bastards are mean. So. And he had this one black bull named Tippy. His antlers were at 90 degree, or 180 degree, straight out. He was born for hooking. I think in his other life, he was a Cape Buffalo or something. And man, he saw my little fat ass running around there throwing out hay bales, and he would make the move for me, man. But I digress, people. But can the farmer, as part of this program, can he say, well, I want $1,000 a season or $2,000, or is that off the table?
Well, and he can do that. He can certainly continue with the leasing of his property to clubs, mm-hmm. but then he won't be involved in our program. Because for the safety portion of our program is that if we're helping you out with depredation, for example, mm-hmm. then we're asking that you agree to allow our hunters that volunteered their time to help you out with depredation be the sole exclusive, have the exclusive hunting rights for the rest of the season. Because we don't want to be out there and then all of a sudden have a whole bunch of other guys coming out at the same time.
There you go.
Because, because the farmer has a lease with a club. That's not safe. It's not safe for us.
No.
So if the farmer wants to continue with the leasing of their property to big clubs, well, then they're going to have to suffer the consequences of those hunters maybe not taking enough deer for them, you know?
Wait, how do Federation members, me, I'm in Southern Ocean County. I was in Cape May County. I'm here. They're a Federation member in Morris County, Federation in Somerset, in Salem, in Cumberland, in Gloucester, in Atlantic. How do they get involved with this?
Well, right now, we only have, like I said, two farmers, and so it's a small thing, but they can always email me at president@njsfsc.org, and certainly, explain who they are. If they got my phone number, tell them to give me a call mm-hmm. anytime, and we can talk. We can certainly put up a list of people that want to get on these properties. I know there's guys out there that want to do it.
Oh, sure.
One of the things from the deer forum meetings I was here is, there's no deer out there on that state property. So this could be a bridge for guys to get on some, unused farmer property. But, they'd have to treat it with respect. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I've told you in other conversations, me with the antlers, that ship has sailed. I haven't, I can't, say, oh, you stirred a soup with it. Who cares? What do I do with it right now? But so a chance to hunt, get basically virgin property. But Wade, now, you're talking background checks. Now, is that through local law enforcement, fish and wildlife law enforcement, local police enforcement, state police? Because that isn't, not that it, you know, if you have anything to hide, but a background check could be, you know, you got a ticket for, you know, not putting your blinker on or something like that. What kind of parameters do they work within that?
Well, it's the vetting process that the conservation police officers go through. You know, that's all it really is. So it's whatever their process is, whatever they're looking into as far as your background. That's about what, you know.
Okay.
They give this the yes or no as to far as whether the hunter is a safe and experienced hunter. You know, yeah, we're going to know that they're experienced, but are they safe? And that's where the fish and wildlife conservation officers come to play, and they give us the okay.
But hey, listen, it is out there. The program is in its infancy, but it's there. It's existing. Right. It's beyond the single cell stage, so to speak. So, wait, great luck with this. But again, we shall see how it progresses. A farmer here, a farmer there, a farmer here, a farmer there. Again, if it snowballs to the point, you're going to have a whole team out there, no?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, we're going to. And believe me, I would enjoy that challenge because I want to see this. I want to see it work not only for our hunters but for our farmers as well. Because hey, we are the Garden State, are we not?
Right. Exactly right. Oh, wait, one last thing before we part ways here. Huh? Farmers, have you had some farmers that were interested, but let's see about it. Did you have farmers absolutely not, you know, no way, no how, no shape, even though they didn't lease their property? Or are you noticing farmers not a bad idea, let me think about it, sincerely? I mean, is that, so there's possibilities out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when we were in Somerset County last year, there was a farmer who asked me this serious question. Hey, what are you going to do if you run out of hunters? And I said, well, I seriously doubt we're going to run out of hunters because I have enough hunters that would want to be on these type properties for the sheer fact of it's virgin territory, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know, what if you run out? I said, well, then, you know, we'll form a list. We'll get the guys going. We'll figure something out. I said, but that's down the road. You know, let's get like 10 farmers in line before I worry about the shortage of hunters. You know, let's go with the baby steps. But he had very valid concerns.
Sure. Again, there's feedback. That's great. And Wade, I'm familiar with Somerset County, intimately familiar. Branchburg, Somerville, Manville, that whole area of just North Branch. I fish up there in Neshannock. Crushed. Mowed down, paved over between commercial development and the McMansion estates that are going up. And it's right there along the north branch of the road on Route 22 there. I said, I remember driving by a few years ago. We used to hunt rabbits here. We used to squirrel hunt over there. And now it's just and in between is an 80-acre patch of corn or a patch of soybeans or an orchard or something. And you say, you know, but you look at it from the deer's end, it's a panacea. They are safer than all get out.
That's it. And that's the other thing, too, is not only is our program involved with as far as firearms, but we also involve the crossbows where that 80-acre patch you just talked about, you can't really hunt with a firearm on that. But we get in there with bows, with archery season, archery equipment, and we take care of the problem.
Well, Wade, the best of luck again. Wade, people want to find out more about this. Give a phone number, website, your email address again, please.
Sure. You can email me at president@njsfsc.org or give our office line a call at 609-298-4170 or go to our website, the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. And it's njsffc.org, and you can look us up and find all the information there to give us a holler as well.
Hey, wait! Don't you have a convention or something coming up pretty soon, bro?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. Yep, March 1st and 2nd, 2024, up there in Plainsboro at the Crown Plaza of Princeton Conference Center. We're going to be hosting a Deer Classic and Skillful Angler Award.
Great! There it is.
Yeah, we're going to have the Deer Classic being presented during our convention. So it's a fun-filled 2 days. Come on up and see us.
I go to these things, people, I eat and drink like a man on death row. Ray Spahn says, leave him over there in the corner. Okay, Wade, you take care, brother. Good luck.
All right, brother, you too. Thanks, Tommy.
Way long on that segment. Hey, it's a pilot program again. Roll over before you crawl, before you walk, before you run. It's beyond the single stage. Wish them luck. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Happy New Year. Pheasants and Bob's on the loose.
Only one talk station in South Jersey has an app that's focused exclusively on what's happening in Atlantic and Cape May counties. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Don't fish through some generic app along with thousands of other stations. The WPG Talk Radio app brings you the latest South Jersey news and weather information, breaking news push notifications, and more. Download the WPG Talk Radio app today through WPGTalkRadio.com.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Another night of protests in New York City as thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators march through Midtown streets and caused chaos around Grand Central Terminal. Iran's president, who's attending a summit in Saudi Arabia today on the war in Gaza, said the time for talk is over and that it is time for action, something Iranian-backed militia are already taking.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issued another warning to Iran.
These attacks against our people must stop. If they don't stop, again, we're going to do what's necessary to protect our people.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin reporting. And a federal appeals court orders Louisiana to finalize a new congressional map by January. The court ruled yesterday the current map likely violates the Voting Rights Act, diluting the power of the state's black voters. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey today. We start the weekend with plenty of sunshine with a high today 58. A clear star-studded sky for us tonight, and we're going down to 29. Sunny tomorrow, a little cooler, the high 50. And then staying sunny and nice on Monday, we're going up to 56. Plan with confidence, visit AccuWeather.com. I'm AccuWeather's Rose Tamburino on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 11th and 12th. While that striper body's going insane. I saw a lot of video this week. Again, all of it from the boats. Bunker, bass blowing up on bunker, acre. It looked like half a mile to a mile. Blitzes everywhere. And some in close along the beach, and a lot of guys on the jetties and in the surf are starting to pick up fish. One tag to hear you really don't hear much about. I was fascinated with it up North Jersey, fascinated with it down South Jersey, as in the Cape, Atlantic. And don't see it much along the Central Coast. Bucktail and bass, vis-a-vis an incredible, if you know how to fish it effectively, the Smiling Bill. And the first couple of times I used it, I mean, this thing sucks. I can't catch anything with it. Was given a tutorial by the next guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line. He's been on many a time, lure innovator, lure manufacturer, Stanley Gola. I call him, it depends on the species, but right now he's the Ayatollah of striper roller when it comes to fishing the Smiling Bill bucktail. And it is an incredibly effective striper bait, especially later in the fall. Stanley, thanks for joining us. I know you're jamming your work. Stan, the Smiling Bill across the board, one of the best. Now that I know how to use it, one of the best jigs ever devised.
Yes, indeed, it is. Been around for a long time, Tom.
Now, Stanley, you're with SA, you've not perfected. I guess you have your own stamp on it, your own techniques. The effectiveness of it. When did you first start using it? I mean, I'm sure your dad, the late great Big Stosh Gola, gave you the lesson on it. That's a badass striper bait, man.
Yes, yeah. I've been fishing them since I was 8, 9 years old. Bucktailing for stripers. It's been around a very, very long time.
Stan, I noticed the majority of the anglers using it were either in the surf or especially on the jetties. Fishing this effectively, go into the design of it with the Smiling Bill, the face, because you have a full line of them. Color make a difference. What do you put on that hook? What kind of trailer? And then most importantly, the retrieve or retrieves to make the bass go bat bleep. Go, Stanley.
Well, when you're fishing any bucktail in the surf, What you need to do is you need to read your water and see which way it's sweeping. It's either going to sweep left to right or right to left 9 times out of 10. So obviously you want to cast in direction so you can work the bucktail in front of you and back away from you. So cast it out, whichever way the current's running. You let it fall to the bottom. It's a nice slow crank, slow. And every once in a while you're going to pop up that rod and don't stop reeling it. Constant reeling. Once you stop, you're done. You got to keep moving that bait along. Nice and slow. It hits the sand, that smiling bill. That's why it has that mouth. It kind of puffs it up as it digs into the bottom, and they think it's a sand eel. So what I do is I always fish it. I like personally to fish it with a 5 or 6 inch curly tail, like an almost a twister tail.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I like to fish it. But you can fish it with an old Uncle Josh or, you know, a fish like the fish tails they have, like an otter tail or one of those kind of things as well.
Stanley, the operative word, though, is slow, because I remember you telling me you're still going too fast. It's a slow retrieval. As Gola says, give it a pop now and then. But Stanley, again, imitating a sand eel or whatever other creature is down there along the bottom, this is incredibly effective.
Yeah, it takes some patience to fish it. It's not like a pencil popper. You know, you're casting, you're pop, 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 pop. You know, it takes time to learn how to fish a bucktail properly. It really does.
Well, Stan, the smiling bill, though, again, this area, you don't see it predicated on where you are up north and then further south from where I am sitting here in Northfield, Atlantic City, whatever you want to call it. You don't see many or that greatest selection on the dealer pegboards. Is it because of it's such an old, like you mentioned, Andrew's bucktail? That's such an old time lure that the new young guns or even the middle aged guys that are just getting into it don't know anything about it. Buy one, fish it the wrong way, like I did, and say this thing sucks the way it goes.
A lot of guys are content with just throwing an SP minnow or a pencil popper, and that's fine. That catches fish. You got to remember something also from Barnegat North, all the way up through North Jersey and Long Island, you know, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. It's a better striper bite in the surf. You have a lot more guys fishing up here than you do down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it.
Stanley, size and color, it seems red and white with a smiling bill, red and yellow. I mean, you mentioned sand eels. Sand eels only like that. What color patterns seem to work best? Again, later on, as we get towards Thanksgiving, when the surf bite's really going, you know, crazy, what colors seem to work for you?
White's always great. White's always great. I mean, it's always going to be your go-to. You got chartreuse, so the water's a little stained. You also have the yellows that are good. We also have a sand eel. We have the blurple for the nighttime guys. We have a wine. So, you know, whatever's working for you. I mean, that's usually how it works with bucktail guys. Once they catch on one, they never take it off the color.
So, yes. He knows me too well. But Stanley, nighttime bite with a smiling bill, huh? I never saw guys bucktail.
Sometimes the best time.
Really?
That can be sometimes the best times to fish the bucktail that night.
Stanley,
especially when that water's just a little churned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just has that little, it's a little turning up like a light northeast. A northeast wind, as long as it isn't too hard, is the best time to fish a bucktail.
Joining us on the line is Stanley Gola, SNS Jigs, the Ayatollah right now of Striper Roll, the Smiling Bill Bucktail. Stanley, best times to fish a Smiling Bill size-wise. Are you down to 1 ounce, 2 ounce? You up to 4 or 5? What's the dealio?
I very rarely will use a 4 or 5 ounce. 9 times out of 10, it's between 3/4 mm-hmm. and 1.5 ounces. Now, if you're getting really churned up, you might want to go to a 2. A lot of guys up towards the hook area, they'll fish anywhere from a 2 to a 3. Sometimes those guys will throw a 4 because how much current's up there.
Stanley, I've seen that along the Monmouth Beach wall there.
Yes,
the big smile. They look like hand grenades with bucktail hair on them.
Yeah, they throw them pretty heavy up there.
But Stan, they do catch best. Okay, Stan, the smiling bill in your repertoire when you're out there on the surf, in your repertoire, the smiling bill and what? A couple of medals, a couple of plugs. What's your deal?
A darter, a couple gliders. You got to have a pencil popper. You got to have some circle hooks to snag and drop with an egg weight, obviously. And then some of those shads, you know, the 5 and 6 inch shads.
Sam, back to the smiling bill before I let you go. You mentioned trailers. Color and scent make a difference, or is it the action? Again, the slow retrieve. Again, one thing about those twister tails, you breathe on them and they move. Paddle tails, yeah, Kettle Creeks, they move.
Yes, they do. Scent really doesn't matter. The color will matter, obviously. I mean, I usually put white almost on everything I'm fishing.
And there
That's
you go.
That's what I use, yeah. So,
Stanley, give that website, please. Facebook page, go. It's a, hey, SNS with this smiling Bill, man. It's weird. It looks like something out of like the creature feature thing. This is just an ugly bucktail with a face on it. Devastatingly effective.
Yeah, it's a good look. Yeah, just we're on Instagram and Facebook, SNS Jigs.
Stanley, take care, man. Be good.
All right.
We'll see you on the tog boats, man.
I will see you soon.
Take care, brother.
Thanks, Tom. All right.
Yeah, I remember the first time we used it, I said, this is, and I was fishing it incorrectly. And it was incorrectly. And I said, this sucks, man. Put it back in the surf bag, put it back in the tackle box. I had three or four of them. Boy, I forget which shop I went to. Give me one. I was like Rodney Dangerfield in that movie where he goes back to college and he's in the bookstore. Or no, the one with the golf course. Yeah, give me one of those. Give me two of those. I'll take two of these. Said, man, I just wasted my money. Then when you learn how to use it properly, mod on, does it catch fish. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Great time last Saturday for a few hours at the convention in the Pines out there at the Blueberry Farm. Somewhere there, it was between Chatsworth and Hamilton. What was that, Chatsworth Road? Great time out there. Saw some great people. Shout out to Ronnie Jones. Come around to Ben, and who do I see? Sitting there at a booth. Longtime friend, longtime associate with Rack and Fin Radio. Billy Super Cooper, as he is known. And he's a trustee, longtime trustee, New Jersey Waterfowlers. God, they've been around for 50 years, 50-something years. They have a great event coming up next week at the Super Cooper Red Wings Sporting Clays there on Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Join us on the line right now. First, I hasn't been on Rack and Fin in years, is Billy Cooper and his Labrador Destroyer Doodle Curly to talk about this event. Billy, how you doing, man? Good to see you again.
I'm doing great, Tommy. Always a pleasure to see you.
But I came around the venue. I dropped my bag with my jigs and stuff in it, my trapping. So I said, well, it's Billy. I haven't seen him in so long.
Oh, we've talked about so many things over the years.
Yep.
You do such a great job. I mean, the youth hunts and stuff. But now we're going to talk about the sporting clay shoots.
Now, Bill, but before we get to that, though, but at the convention tonight, I talked to a bunch of youngsters there that were in the youth pheasant hunt the week prior. They had a great time. Super job. Now, I know you've been involved with that for years. Super job there, fishing wildlife on that. The kids had a ball, Billy.
Oh, I ran that program for 25 years.
Yeah.
And the state does such a good job with that program. And the Federation does a great job on feeding some of them lunches in the prospective areas, Austin Pink and Kyers Mills. It's a great time for everybody that shows up.
Well, Billy, New Jersey Waterfowlers have done some great work. Didn't you guys just partner in a big project that was recently completed? Talk about that for a minute. Go.
We have projects throughout New Jersey. We partner with Autobond on the Mannington Meadow project. We did Tuckahoe. We did the Petrecha piece where it's dedicated to youth waterfowl hunting only. Only the kids can shoot there and handicapped veterans. We've done, the waterfowlers use all their money for conservation. We have a bunch of projects. We have Covine we partner with for wildflower and pollinator mix. We just don't do waterfowl.
Wow, great.
We live right in Westville. We do stuff for quail and pheasants. We've been to Middlesex County doing projects. Anywhere we can go. We've donated $40,000 to Canada to stay on the East Coast Flyway so we develop our ducks and stuff. Most of all our projects are in New Jersey except for two.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian project for the Eastern Flyway, and we do a partnership with a Long Island company similar to the Waterfowlers to just keep the Eastern Flyway open and breeding.
Yeah, Billy, up there in Canada, that's the fountain. That's where it starts. You know, the breeding grounds. Okay, Billy, to the November 19th event there at Red Wing Sporting Clays. That's a fun shoot, fun place. Billy, I understand it's $65, and that includes what?
That includes your lunch, and we give away prizes. There's a trophy. It's a good, good time, good fellowship with other shooters. You know, it's a fun shoot. You don't have to be the best. Just come out and participate. Like I said, our money goes to great conservation projects. Mm-hmm. One of our big conservation projects right now is a wood duck nesting building box. We build the nesting boxes for wood ducks, mm-hmm. and we do it through two seminars with our youth. It's the kids build the boxes. We make the kits, and we supervise them put together. We do it with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts.
That is great. That's great, Billy. Wow.
Just contact us. We'll get these kids going. We do memorial wood duck boxes in memory of loved ones that have passed. We put a little plaque on it, and we send you your GPS coordinates on where your duck box is.
Wow.
If you want to see it or if you want to put a trail camera to watch it. We have quite a few people that watch the wood duck nesting program.
Wow.
That's definitely something to see.
Listen, it's not a lot of, it's Billy Cooper. Billy, I call him very affectionately Billy Super Cooper, longtime acquaintance of Rack and Fin Radio, and the lovely Tom P. and Dee Marie. Lovely Dee Marie and Tom P. And his Labradoodle, badass bird dog, Labra Destroyer Doodle Curly. So listen, Sunday, November 19th, Red Wing Sporting Clays, 117 Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. It's going to start, Billy, 8 a.m. You said that includes the $65, includes lunch and 100 rounds of clays, right?
Yes, sir.
And let's see. I'm trying to think of getting this schedule going crazy. Billy, people find out more about this. Give a website or Facebook page or something, man.
You can go on Google search for South Jersey Waterfowlers. I'm not a big website fan. I know we got one, mm-hmm. but I don't know exactly what it is.
So it's South Jersey, part of New Jersey Waterfowlers, then, correct?
New Jersey Waterfowlers or South Jersey Waterfowlers. Both of them should come up, but New Jersey Waterfowlers, we're all the same organization, so New Jersey Waterfowlers is the mother company.
He puts it, Billy's a businessman, puts it that way. Okay, Mr. Cooper, God spare. See you next week, man.
I look forward to it, Tommy. You have a great day, buddy.
Listen to me. Do you have enough lunches? Because you know Tom P., brother.
Yes, we have enough lunches, I promise.
Take care, man.
Thank you. Look forward to you.
That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio. Again, God bless America and our troops. To the veterans, heartfelt thanks for your service. Another, you know, veterans doing it now, enlisted, whatever, active, just keep America safe and keep America great. People, get out there and enjoy. Unwrap each day like a precious gift, man. I'll tell you, every day my feet hit the hardwood. It's a great day. Everything's happening, hunting, fishing. Be a part of it. Get the families involved. Again, God bless our veterans. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.